Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Homeris and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in a casual setting for conversation around God's Word, the Bible. Join us now for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
Well, once again, it's so nice having you join us as we take a break from our busy day to gather together for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, having conversation about God's Word, the Bible. Hi, this is Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Now, each of our programs does stand alone, so you don't have to worry if you haven't heard all of a series. But if you've missed any segment and you'd like to hear more, or if you'd like to hear again or invite someone else to listen, just go to firstloveradio.org, that's O-R-G, and scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our programs. Again, that's at firstloveradio.org. And, of course, our trusty Bible expert and guide, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, is here. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. It's great to study the Word with you again.
Yes, it is. Now, we're continuing to look at John chapter 3. Pastor Joe, in verse 19, we read, "And this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." What does it mean here to love darkness?
Well, people love darkness. They love sin. They may not understand that. They may not believe that. You may say, oh, you love your sin to them, and they'll be upset because they would say no. But the way God looks at it is everyone is born with a sin nature, and they feel very comfortable in the arena and area of selfishness, of self-centeredness, even though they may do good deeds from time to time, and outwardly they may appear nice and try to be nice, yet in their hearts, everyone is very corrupt and self-centered and self-focused. They justify themselves in their carnal, evil reasonings, and they're always scheming and planning to try to attain their sinful goals. So they're very comfortable in the realm of darkness, that is, sinful thinking, selfish thinking that revolves around their own evil, personal selfish goals that they are always planning in their minds. And so they love darkness. Whenever light would shine into their minds, and what we mean by light is in the form of the Word of God, in the light in the form of truth, light in the form of things that are dedicated to God and glorifying God, things that relate to hearing the gospel of salvation, things that glorify Christ. They don't like those things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This means that a non-Christian lives for self and for sin and for their own purposes. They may not be a murderer or commit gross sin, but in their hearts, they love themselves more than anybody else. They love themselves more than God, more than family. And if everybody gets along with them and loves them and does good to them, they will love them back. And so they live in this atmosphere and thought life of total permeated selfishness right down to their emotional and physical DNA. It's in their blood. It's in their nature to love the natural environment of spiritual darkness revolving around self and the glorification of self. And that's what it means by men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And they commit evil deeds because they have an evil heart. Their actions and deeds emanate from their heart. Whatever you are in your heart, that's who you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So the heart, the ego, is the center of our being, moral being. And if our moral being is totally corrupt, poisoned, and polluted by original sin that has not been changed and removed by the power of God, then those are the thoughts we're going to think, and those are the actions that are going to emanate from our wicked thoughts and wicked motives and wicked hearts. And that describes an unsaved, non-Christian person who lives in a world of darkness that is totally consumed and saturated with evil thoughts, selfishness, egotism, pride. Self is on the throne, and God is not on the throne. They love darkness rather than light. Those are the old things that 2 Corinthians describes that must pass away and all things become new. When a person becomes a born-again Christian, they receive a new nature from God. They receive light from God that is shed abroad in their hearts, and they now walk in the light as God is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses them from all sin. And the righteous requirement of the law, they crave righteousness. They love to hear the Bible. They no longer want to walk on a path of destructiveness and rebellion against God in their old life. When they become born from above, they walk in the light as God is in the light. And when they sin, they grieve God and they hate it themselves. Because of the weakness of the flesh, there's this ongoing battle with remaining sin in the Christian life. But their nature is rooted in light. It is rooted in love. It is rooted in the life of God that the Holy Spirit has implanted in their spiritual being to take the place of the darkness and the sinfulness and the slavery to sin and its lifestyle that they were entrapped and caught in before their salvation.
Now, Pastor Joe, when you look at darkness and light, when you walk into a room and you flip the switch and the light comes on, things are revealed. Isn't that the same situation with those that are walking in darkness, that their sins are somewhat covered, but as they come into the light, as the Lord draws them, they come into the light, that their sins are revealed, and they see how ugly those sins are and how thankful they are to God for saving them?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why when their sins are exposed and revealed, they run from the light as fast as they can, because it's very uncomfortable for them to remain in the light for any length of time, because the light of truth and God's word will therefore continually reveal their sin. And if their hearts are not changed, if they don't have a divine nature, if they're not born from above, they don't feel comfortable in that environment. Their natural environment is the darkness, and they will run from the light as fast as they can. Just like if you have a dark room and you open the door and the cockroaches are in the middle of the room, they're going to run away from that light as fast as possible because they're not comfortable in the light. That's not their normal, natural environment. And the same is true with the sinner. Yes, you're 100% right. And that's why men love darkness rather than light, because when their deeds are exposed, when their sinful ways are exposed, they run back to the darkness because they cannot handle the light.
Well, and in actuality, they will choose one way or the other, right? That if the Lord is revealing their sin to them once they come to the light, then they will run towards him. Whereas if they are not having their spiritual eyes open, then they will run back into the darkness. Would you say that's right?
That's absolutely correct. If God is beginning to draw them into salvation, when they come into the light, they begin to wait a little longer in the light. They don't knee-jerk run back to the darkness as they did before as a habit. But when God begins to open their eyes, they begin to be drawn to the light. maybe at first they have this curiosity or interest. They hear a phrase or a sentence or a short teaching about the Bible, and their curiosity is perked, and they want to understand. And this is the process of how God saves a person. He puts within their minds and hearts a little bit of light in the form of curiosity, in the form of a little bit of an understanding of what's going on when they hear the word, in the form of a little bit of a piqued interest. Maybe a drop or two of the word goes into their hearts and stirs them up. They walk to the light a little bit closer to hear a little bit more and a little bit more. And as the Holy Spirit begins to work more deeply in them, illuminating their minds and giving them an understanding of the word of God and convicting them of their sin and showing them where they have gone wrong and where they have rebelled against God and that why they have rejected the knowledge of God, they begin more and more to investigate the truth of God's word. And however painful and convicting it may be at first to be in the light and to linger in the light, learning the word of God, eventually that understanding and that pain turns into conviction of sin. That conviction of sin will cause them to begin to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to begin to repent of sin so that they will permanently be moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light as they trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and become changed from the inside out by receiving a new heart, a new mind, a new motive, new purpose for living, new goals. They literally become that new creation that 2 Corinthians 5:17 describes. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. The old man, the one who loved to walk in the darkness, the one who loved to sin against God and enjoy the pleasures of sin, those old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The things of God that they didn't care about in the past, going to church, reading the Bible, praying, talking about God, all of those things they used to roll their eyes about when they came into contact with them. Now when they hear those things and do those things, their soul is thrilled and nourished and their heart is overjoyed when they come into the light where worship is taking place, true Bible worship, where the reading and preaching and teaching of the Word of God is occurring, where true Christians are located, fellowshipping over the Word and glorifying Christ and encouraging one another. Those are the things that they love now. Those are the things that have all become new. So they become this new person spiritually. And that requires the mighty, miraculous, sin-destroying power of God to break down those walls of rebellion and translate and transfer this wicked sinner from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the light.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe Jackowitz, and we'll return to our program in just a moment, so don't go away. There's much more to come. Pastor Joe is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Now, perhaps you've got a question you would like to ask Pastor Joe, or a comment you would like us to share on an upcoming episode of Bible Talk. Well, you can do just that by simply emailing us. Here's the email address, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also mail in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply tap on the Contact Us tab on our website, firstloveradio.org, and ask your question there. Be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this information at the end of our program, but for now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Doesn't God's love and patience for us cause him to delay his judgment on us? As we're told in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, which says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Well, yes, this love and patience of God in holding back and restraining his judgment that is looming over every unsaved person who has rebelled against God and his law and God's ways, it is called common grace. It is not redeeming grace, because there are different shades and kinds of the love of God. There is the redemptive love of God, which God shows only for his elect, for the sheep of Christ who become saved. These are the ones described in John 3:16, who believe in him, who do not perish but have everlasting life. Those who believe are the ones who don't perish, and they are the ones that have everlasting life. But there are other forms of love, just like you and I have different kinds of compassion and love. I love my mother, but I also love my wife, and I don't love my wife like I love my mother, and I don't love my mother in the same way that I love my wife. Those are different kinds of love. And so God does love everybody, even unsaved people, even those who spitefully reject and spurn God's offer of salvation in Christ. How do we know that? Well, God sees the lost, even though they reject and rebel against him. He still provides food, shelter, clothing, jobs, a way to earn a living. He sustains their health. Where if God took his sustaining, preserving mercy and grace on their life and their families, they'd all fall over dead in a moment. But it is only the patience and forbearance and compassion of God that will still feed souls and preserve the health of souls and provide a means of living for souls who rebel against him. Those who bite the hand that feeds them, that is in the case of God, they bite the hand that feeds them. God still, in divine agape love, continues to provide for them in so many different ways. Now that is an amazing form of love.
It sure is. And just to be very clear from all of the different things that you have said today, and which are so enlightening and inspiring, the Bible is just so beautiful and has so many promises. And just to be very clear, isn't there still hope for those who are walking in rebellion to God's call, or maybe walking in ignorance, to repent, to turn away from sin, and to turn to him?
Yes, no matter how bad things get, Bobby, as long as a person is still alive and breathing and coherent, can understand words, there is still hope for that person, right up until the very last breath they breathe. And so God gives illustrations. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his teaching in the New Testament, in the Gospels, gives illustrations like the parable of the vineyard and the workers, where he describes a vineyard owner who goes out and he hires workers early in the morning, say 8 o'clock in the morning, and he needs more and hires some more at noon. He needs more and he hires some more at 4 o'clock. And then he still needs more workers and he hires a group, say about 5:30, just before quitting time at 6 o'clock. And the end of the day comes and he pays all the workers, and he pays them all the same amount of money. And one of the workers comes up to the owner and complains and says, "Master, you paid these guys who are hired at 5:30 the same amount as the men who are hired at 8 o'clock in the morning, who have borne the heat of the day and the burden of the work. Is that fair?" And so Jesus says, concerning the owner of the vineyard, who said, "Well, did not you and I agree for a certain wage?" And he said, "Yes." "Did I not pay you that wage?" He said, "Yes." And then he says, "Well, those who enter the kingdom of God are like these people who were hired early, in the middle, and at the end of the day. They're like those who go to heaven. We are all saved at different periods in our life. Some of us are saved as children, some as adolescents, some as teens, some as young adults, some as middle-aged people, and some as elderly people, even maybe hours or days before they die as an older person. But they all get the same wage. And what is that? Heaven. They all go to heaven. And God is saying that there's hope for all of us, regardless of how many days or years or decades you and I have rebelled against God, rejected his law, cast aspersions on his son, taken his name in vain, lived our lives for ourselves, abused our bodies and our thought life. God says, if you will turn and repent of your sin, that is, change your mind about your sin, no longer love your sin, but confess it, hate it, loathe it, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to live like that anymore. And call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to put your trust in him, to give your life in his hands, to continue to exercise faith in him until he fulfills his promise to save you. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And all of us before salvation, we are basically walking corpses. The Bible says we're condemned already. We might as well die and go to hell because every thought, every action, every deed is rooted in sin or in selfishness. And God says our life is worthless outside of knowing God himself and living for him and glorifying him. That's why we were created. We were created to glorify God, not to live for ourselves. And the sin that entered the Garden of Eden and caused the fall of Adam and Eve and their descendants was not the original plan of God. Yet God, in great mercy, sent his son, Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead, into the world to actually pay the price to save us from our sins by sacrificing himself to be the payment that God requires as a just God, so that we can be released from spiritual captivity. The chains of sin can be broken, and we don't have to earn our salvation or try to work our way to heaven, but that Jesus would do all of the work necessary to fulfill the commandments of God in our place as our substitute. And if we put our trust in him, we receive all of the benefits of salvation. We have the righteousness of Christ imputed or credited to our account, so we're perfectly righteous in God's eyes. And then Jesus bears all of our sins, past, present, and future, in his own body and makes full payment in our place of all of our sins so that we don't have to pay our sin debt ourselves in hell forever. Now, that's the best news anyone can ever hear. You cannot purchase that salvation, even if you're a multi-billionaire. You're not smart enough. You're not winsome enough. You're not likable enough. There's nothing you are in yourself, in your personality, and there's nothing you can do in terms of works or good deeds to earn your way to heaven, and you can't pay your way there. You cannot hire a very smart lawyer to advocate for you before God in a way that would win God over to your side. The only hope you have, and the only hope I have, my friend, is to put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from hell and sin. And if you do that and never stop trusting him until he does save you, and believe that he is the only one who can save you, and believe the promise of God that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, then you will be saved. And no one can take that salvation away. And the Lord will be faithful to his word and his promise to come back and get you, receive you to himself, take you back to heaven with him, perfect you in your spirit and in your body so that you can enjoy eternal, everlasting communion and fellowship with the living God himself who created you.
Amen.
Praise God.
And when we declare the gospel, we're declaring, as you've mentioned, Pastor Joe, good news. Good news. And it's so encouraging to know that God has given us this good news to not only receive, but to pass it on as well to others as they're tuned in through this program called Bible Talk.
Well, yes, the good news is so important because otherwise, without believers spreading and dispersing the good news of salvation through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, it would be the world's best kept secret. But believers are charged and commissioned in the Great Commission by our Lord Jesus Christ himself to go out into the highways and byways, to preach the gospel to every creature, to reason in the marketplaces, to share the word with our family members, to go into the workplace and live a godly life and be a good example, and at the appropriate time after work or during break, to share the good news, to distribute tracts, to send emails, and use social media, digital media, to communicate the word, to send articles, to send portions of the Bible. There are many, many ways of sharing the gospel. Just wherever you are in your life, in your station, in your place in life, don't try to be somebody you're not called to be. Just be yourself, but with the gifts, talents, skills, and opportunities God has given you, where you live in your life, with the people who you can influence in your world, in your little world, relatives, coworkers, and so forth, share the gospel. Do it every day. Do it in season and out of season. Give a reason of the faith that is in you. Tell people why you're saved. Share the gospel through a personal testimony. Tell them how you got saved and weave the gospel in with that testimony. Pass out tracts. If you don't have a lot of time, carry tracts with you. And if you have a 1 minute or 5 minute introduction to somebody, a stranger that you'll never meet again, give them the tract and say, please read this when you get a minute. There's hope. There's good news in this brochure, in this little pamphlet. Please read it. The Lord is coming soon. We need to get out there with the gospel. And in our day and age, Rich, people are more heightened in their awareness of the second coming of Christ and of the things that are taking place in our world, the signs of the times that are preparing the world for further judgment, which is setting the stage for the second coming of Christ, the Battle of Armageddon, and all of those prophecies that God foretold would take place at the end of the world. And so we need to be witnesses, be faithful in our place, in our station, unto our last breath. We are the generation right now that has received the mantle from going all the way back to the apostles on our watch right now. We need to be faithful, a faithful generation, of faithful churches, faithful Christians in sharing the gospel and not compromise and not blend back into the world from where we came. We need to be faithful to God. We need to trust in Christ and cling to him for the strength we need to be light and salt in the world.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. Be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as he inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.